You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach talking Baltimore Orioles with Orioles broadcaster Jim Hunter. Sometimes it's difficult to identify exactly why a team is going well or going poorly. Something really stands out, though, about what's gone on here for the Orioles lately. They haven't given up more than three runs in a game in over a week, which is a pretty good way to win some games. Is this more or less kind of the way they expect and want to win when they're going to win games? They can hit home runs, but I think this team is maybe kind of built to win 4-2 rather than 7-5.
Well, the pitching certainly has come on, Matthew. It struggled a bit with consistency in April, although they did have a 500 month in April going 10-10. But really, since May the 1st, the starters in particular have done a very good job of getting deeper in games, and that's always a key because you can't overload a bullpen, especially in the AL East. The games within the division are such grind-out games. But I would disagree with the premise that you just mentioned because the Orioles, when they score four or more runs, that's the magic number. So the pitchers give them a chance, and then the hitters come through. I totally agree with you. They are built for the big inning. They do live by the home run. But as of late, they've been manufacturing a few more runs. In fact, in this Red Sox series, they've won the first two games without hitting a home run. So the pitching is without a doubt a key, and they've been able to navigate with Bud Norris going on the DL, and it looks like Miguel Gonzalez is going on the DL. The depth in the system is now at a point where they do have options. You know, Mike Wright came up. Tyler Wilson came up. These are legitimate options and very much a part of the future with the pitching, but they're there now. So, yeah, the pitching, I agree, it's totally there. But this is still a play for the big inning team. And they love those crooked number innings, and they sure do love the long ball.
You mentioned Norris, and the numbers look good, his return. What did you see from him last time out?
Well, when he pitched Sunday in Cleveland, he finally had command of his pitches. For whatever reason, and really going all the way back to spring training, he did not have a good spring for what he was expecting coming off a 15-win season a year ago. But he just couldn't command his fastball. And when that happens, the hitters tend to get ahead in counts, and they can become more selective, and then they sit on a pitch, and it's harder to get guys out. But the time he spent on the DL, and he was out almost a month. It was just a few days shy of a month. He was able to regain his health. The bronchitis really hit him hard. He lost about 10 pounds. And he had to regain his strength, and in particular, regain the strength in the legs. The legs are so important for a pitcher, and especially a starting pitcher who's hoping to go 5, 6, 7, hopefully 8 innings in a game. And in his start in Cleveland on Sunday, his command was there. And as a result, all of the secondary pitches fell into place. He does have a real good slider. And when he can get ahead of the fastball and have the hitter guessing what's coming or trying to outthink what Bud's doing, he's really good. So hopefully, you don't want to make too much over one start, but he was really good in Cleveland. And the Indians were really swinging the bat when the Orioles went in there over the weekend. And the Birds got 2 out of 3. And the only game they lost 2-1. So that was a real good sign with Bud coming off the DL and getting the Orioles a win in a rubber game to get a series.
You made what I think is an important point about not making too much of one start, and it kind of leads into what I wanted to ask next, which is going forward here over these next few weeks, what do you think it's fair to expect of Norris, a guy who had such a rough start, was hurt, but is coming off a real good year? It seems like he's still kind of a big variable. What do you think it's fair to expect from him as we go forward?
I think, actually, he will be able to build off the start. He's a real energetic, some might say, hyper guy when he takes the mound. He's fidgety, because he cares so much. It's that kind of a personality that he has. And I think the fact that he spent the time on the DL, his last rehab start, it was AAA. It was only 4 innings, but he was outstanding. And then he carried that over into Cleveland. The fact that he did that, I got to believe, is going to give him enough confidence that he is, in fact, back now and he can build on that. All year, because of the spring he had, he never really had that stretch where everything came together. And again, you know, with any pitcher, it's all about command. He had the command. Now I got to believe he'll be confident that the command is back and he should be able to build on this. Now, he's got to face a Yankee team in his next start, and the Yankees are playing pretty well right now, and they're swinging the bats. But still, the pitcher's in control, and if you're on your game, you can shut down good hitting. So that I think the confidence aspect of this with him is something that will enable him to carry it over. But, you know, the Yankees will have a lot to say with that when he starts against them this weekend.
The other guy in that rotation who has been puzzling, I think is fair to say, is Chris Tillman. And, you know, he's gotten a couple of good final results here lately, but he's still walking a lot of guys. That's not what he is when he's good. What do you think is going on? I mean, it's not six or seven, but it's three every time out. What do you think is going on with the number of guys that Chris Tillman is walking?
Well, he has said all year that he has zero command of his secondary pitches, his curveball and his changeup. He's not throwing them enough for strikes to get the hitters to have to respect that. And as a result, when you can't get your secondary pitches close enough to entice the hitter, you become a predictable pitcher, and they just ignore the other pitches and wait for a fastball. And unfortunately, because he very much, for a guy who throws, you know, low to mid-90s, maybe 94 occasionally, he actually pitches backwards quite a bit, where he'll set you up with all the breaking stuff and then come at you with the fastball, as opposed to getting ahead with power and then finessing you. And if he's not throwing the curveball for him is such an important pitch. And he just doesn't know, and who knows why it is. I mean, from year to year, this is why, you know, you go out and play the game. He just hasn't had the feel and the command of his curveball as he had the last couple of years. If he can somehow find that, and he works very hard on it in his side sessions, then I think it all falls back into place for him, because he is a guy who generally, as you say, is around the zone, but this year he is not. Now, in one respect, he tries not to give in to hitters, which will lead to a few more walks if you're behind in the count. You know, if you're 3-1 and you'd rather start over with the guy on deck, sometimes pitchers will do that. But it is alarming when the guy who is regarded as the ace of the staff is walking as many as he is, because what I always look at with a starter is how many base runners per nine innings you're allowing. They can't score if they don't get on, and Chris's are way up this year. So it's extra pitches because of the extra base runners per inning that leads to the high pitch counts and the ineffectiveness. But if he can find the feel for that curveball, I think it snaps back into him very, very quickly, because then he is on the offensive as opposed to the hitters being on the offensive.
One last guy I want to ask you about. Matt Wieters, it's very early. I know it's hard to say a lot from a few games, but he has gotten some good results at the plate. Does he look like he's ready to hit big league pitching to you?
Absolutely. And the ironic thing about Matt coming back, he only made one start in spring training, and it was St. Patrick's Day, so it was 3 weeks in. And he had to make one tough throw. There was a swinging bunt, and he had to fire the ball to first. And the next day, he came down with the soreness in the elbow, and that's when they shut him down and began the process all over again. He was in extended spring training, and he played in so many games down there because he was catching every other day once he was able to throw. And you know how it is with guys coming back from elbows. I mean, they kick you out and they go, okay, Matt, we're going to make 15 throws today. And then when the trainer counts to 15, they say, okay, have a nice day. We'll see you tomorrow. And then you build up from that. But he did that for so long, and as a result, he got so many at-bats in extended spring training. And I realized he's pitching against other injured players and minor leaguers who weren't assigned to a full-season affiliate. So it's not exactly what he's seeing now. But the belief is that because he had – it probably was 200 at-bats. I mean, that's how often he was getting in games and facing live pitching. Because of that, they feel the timing instantly came back, because it wasn't as if he, went out and played five games at Bowie in Double-A and then had to face major league pitching. He got so many at-bats that his bat was ready. The question was, when was his arm going to be ready? They wouldn't activate him simply to DH because it would have really hurt the structure of the roster. So the arm came back. He's catching every other day. right now. He DH'd one of the games in Cleveland because he played so well in his debut on Friday. But last night he didn't DH. He sat out. So the timing based on the way they brought him back after that minor setback in spring training, he's flat out a good hitter. And because he got so many at-bats in spring in that nice, comfortable 98-degree high-humidity Sarasota heat, he hit the ground running and he was ready to go.
Makes sense. All right, well, Jim Hunter, thanks very much for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks everybody for listening.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.